Welcome back to beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. We are broadcasting all over the state of Arizona and in two different locations today, all through the power of rodeo. I'm radio. But rodeo is what essentially brought me up.
You got something else on your mind, don't you?
Yeah, we got a couple things going on. But color, man, I had asked earlier where to go for a color, and y'all were teasing me on the break. You know, we don't have to go anywhere. We just walk around the nursery. Take me through some of the things. What, this red, is that roses down at the far end?
Yes, those are knockout roses, still blooming. They'll bloom, actually, well into the fall, surprisingly.
And so what are some of the other colors? We've got this beautiful, is that orange, light orange?
We have daylilies blooming here, blue catmint blooming next to that. So, yeah, a lot of perennials still blooming. And, of course, now we've got our fall color coming in. We've had mums and asters, if you want to get some fall perennials in now. We also have pansies and violas, which will last through the first couple of frosts. And some have them, if they have good snow coverage, oftentimes those pansies and violas will last through the winter.
And you're welcome to come by if you're in the Flagstaff area and ask your question on air, or we don't have to put you on air. Some people get a little mic shy, so we'll be happy to talk to you. It's Butler Avenue. What's the actual address?
1101 East Butler.
1101 East Butler. And from, there's an exit off of 40, I mean, Butler's pretty much one of the three main roads in Flagstaff.
Right.
So if you're in Flagstaff, you know Butler, and you probably know where Warner's is. Come on by and say hello. And we have callers online.
We do, and we're going to go to Drew in Glendale. And he wants to talk about color. Drew, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. With all the rain that we've had lately, our bird of paradise have just gone crazy.
Yeah, man.
And I wanted to try to go ahead and trim them, but my wife thinks I need to wait, so I'm not sure if I can or not.
Well, I'm agreeing with the wives a lot today.
Yes, you are.
I'd leave it alone. I mean, those birds of paradise, they're going to go dormant on us, and sooner than later. I mean, we always kind of go through this hot summer, and it seems like we have 2 weeks of beautiful fall weather, and the next thing you know, it's freezing, and we got freeze warnings and stuff. So that's the best time to take care of your bird of paradise. This is the next few months. It's going to go dormant, and then we can take those plants and cut them back. But right now, just enjoy that beautiful flower and marvel in it, and don't touch it, and don't prune it, and leave it alone, because probably another month or two you can cut it all the way back to the ground.
There you go. We appreciate the call, Drew. Birds of paradise, let her bloom, baby.
Yep.
Let her bloom. Now we're going to go down to Tucson, bring Jerry into the conversation. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. I have a question. When could I start putting down winter ryegrass? I live in Tucson.
Okay. Well, probably now. Believe it or not, people here in Phoenix haven't really started to see anybody scalping yet, but they will this month. So typically up here in the Phoenix area, people will start scalping and putting their winter lawns in mid to late September. You guys are typically 10 degrees cooler than us, so you could probably start any time.
All right, Jerry.
Jerry?
How do I go about it?
Huh? Oh, how do you go about it? You have a Bermuda lawn, or do you have one of those, or do you have a fescue lawn, or what kind of grass do you have?
I have a combination of Bermuda grass and who knows what.
Okay.
What else?
Okay.
Sedge.
What we do here in the valley now, and you could follow the same rules and reasoning down there in Tucson, is that go ahead and start lowering your lawnmower. Go ahead and cut it, and then lower it, and cut it, and lower it. Do that over about a two-week period of time, so we don't scalp it. Typically, we'll put our ryegrass or fescue-type lawns in. They'll go down about a pound per 100 square feet, so 10 pounds per 1,000 square feet. People do increase those rates to as much as 15 to 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. I don't really recommend covering it with any kind of a topper or a mulch, or unless you've got bare spots. And then the trick is to keep it very moist. You want to water short intervals, 3 to 5 times a day, 3 to 5 minutes a watering session, so we don't get any puddlings, and that grass seed doesn't float and drift down to low spots in your yard. Should germinate in about 10 days to 2 weeks.
What's incredible to me is that in that winter lawn rye, or whatever you want to call it, every blade is one seed.
Right.
And you throw the seeds out there and you think this isn't enough to look good.
Especially when the birds are all in your grass too, and you think, oh my God, the birds are getting more than I'm putting down,
but you mentioned you don't necessarily recommend covering the seed. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I don't. Okay. And I look at the golf course industry down here in the valley, which is huge, and they spend more money on their lawns than anybody else does.
Sure.
And they don't.
They're not covering it.
You know what it would take to cover a golf course?
Yeah.
Because if you throw that seed down there, and it should have enough stubble from the Bermuda grass for that seed to kind of drift down there and kind of be hidden amongst the stolons and the rhizomes of the Bermuda grass to kind of hide it. But where we run into trouble here in Phoenix is that Bermuda grass won't tolerate much shade. So if you've got a tree or the eave of your house and that little 2 foot strip that kind of is always shady out there, we want to cover those bare spots.
All right, we're going to stay on grass and lawn for one more question from Bonnie calling from Goodyear. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, and thank you.
You betcha.
I need help on my grass because it's spotty. It has yellow spots. There's spots that it doesn't grow. And I asked my landscaper, and he says fertilize it. So he started fertilizing it every two months. And when he first did it, it looked good. But now it's right back to where it was. And I know I want to do winter grass. And he had suggested maybe not putting winter grass 1 year. And I really frown on that because I'm having company this year. I want winter grass. So do you have any suggestions on getting my grass back to looking green? I've only lived here, it's a new home, for 5 years, and it's a small area for my dogs, but it's just like, it doesn't look good.
Here's what I would do, and this is a big debate going down here in the valley, and just like Missy said up there in Flagstaff that their Kentucky bluegrass lawns, go 7-8 months of the year. Our ryegrass lawns could go 9 or 10 months out of the year. If we're talking September, October, putting them down, and it's usually about May or June before that they die, you've got a small patch of grass in your backyard. Sounds like, mostly for the dog, you got company. I would concentrate on having a beautiful winter lawn, beautiful ryegrass lawn. Not worry about the 2 or 3 months of the year that your Bermuda grass doesn't look good, because, like you said, there's nothing that looks better here in Arizona than a beautifully put in winter lawn with the ryegrass. I struggle at my house to keep my Bermuda grass lawn looking good. And I can bring home fertilizer and fertilize it every week if I wanted to.
So the summer grass is harder to keep up in the winter, is that correct?
It is, and it requires much more water, too. And, we need to kind of think about conserving water down here in the valley as well. And
right.
your winter grasses, once they become established, you can get by in watering those things about once a week, where, you've got to water those Bermuda grass lawns sometimes every day or every other day to keep them looking good.
Other option that we're seeing more and more popular is the turf,
right.
The easy turf lawns that you don't fertilize. You don't mow.
Yeah, you're
put them down for a lifetime.
Kind, right.
Put the artificial down, and we've got easy turf that we recommend here in the valley. And boy, it's a beautiful product, and it's very dog compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Easy Turf displays at the Flagstaff Home Show in the Superdome in the spring. Do y'all do a lot of artificial turf in your landscape division, Misty?
Not a lot. We do some through Forever Lawn, and it is a great product. But the cost per square foot is pretty high.
And still up here, you're under snow for a couple months out of the year, and
absolutely.
It kind of plays into it.
Right.
But it is very pet friendly. And that was a big detractant from it for a long time. And it also gets warm. So what they've started doing is they keep the sprinkler systems in there just to wash it through, clean them, and cool them off.
Hey, did you guys hear about this kind of fun? It's not funny at all, but high school football season is here, and yesterday I read an article where the maintenance department mowed their brand new turf. Yes,
so
mowed
it. Was fake
it.
Turf, and they brought a mower out on it?
And they cut it all up. Can you imagine how much money that cost to repair?
Yeah. Was that local?
No, it was a national story. I don't remember where it was at, but wow.
So... Note to self, when you put in fake grass, sell the lawnmower.
There you go. What other colors are y'all looking at up there at Warner's?
Well, right now, a lot of green. There are yellow, native yellow flowers on the drive up, and then throughout town, there's a lot of really pretty yellow flowers blooming. But
and when you say green, I mean just the variety of different green from the trees. What's this one we're looking at here?
This is actually a blue Atlas cedar, which is an ornamental, more of a blue, and then we've got a weeping blue spruce here.
Now, are these pretty typical on their sizes, or do y'all keep them trimmed down just because it's next to the entrance?
You know, we just let them go if they start to impede, obviously. But no, these are almost full grown. So,
and so this is one more time?
Blue Atlas cedar.
A blue Atlas cedar, and then this is the spruce. And this one out front, that's a very rich green, thick leaf, almost I wouldn't say it looks like a mulberry, but that's the closest thing that you would see in the valley to that kind of color, that green.
Yeah, that's a flowering pear tree. So great blossoms in the spring, really fragrant white blossoms, and you're going to see really, really brilliant red, orange fall color in about a few weeks.
Now, we have very limited amount of apples that we can grow below the rim. With the amount of chill hours you have up here, what kind of variety do y'all do? See a lot of varieties of apple and pear?
We do. Mostly, that's flowering. But for fruiting apples, we can grow Macintosh, Yellow Delicious, Red Delicious, Gala, just a lot of them. Unfortunately, because of the late frosts and the high winds during the blossoming time, about one in every 5 years will actually set fruit. So on a good year. So we really like to inform customers that they're going to make a great ornamental tree, and every once in a blue moon you'll get fruit. But you know, just over the rim in the Verde Valley and Sedona, they do really, really well with fruit production.
In that wind area, could you put a little grove and expect a little bit better out of the middle three or four that might be protected?
Absolutely, if it was protected from the wind. And it depends on the area of town. We have so many microclimates in Flagstaff. So if you really wanted to grow fruit, you'd want to consider what area you're growing in.
And other than apple, what are some of the other types of produce?
You can get plums, cherries, nectarines, peaches. Right now, we're selling a lot of small fruits, raspberries, blackberries, grapes, blueberries. So, and dwarf on the fruit trees is really popular right now. You can grow them actually in containers, and with them being smaller, there's a easier way to protect them during the frost time, so you're more likely to get fruit. So that's definitely an option if you have a small space and still want to get a fruit tree. The dwarf varieties are definitely a good way to go.
I had occasion to be in Sedona last week, and I took Schnebley Hill Road up to Flagstaff, and I was surprised, Jeff. I mean, once you top out there, I mean, the feel, it was like spring. I mean, it was full of yellow flower meadows, and the green was this deep fluorescent green. It was gorgeous.
That's one thing I miss. You know, I went to schools you did for a while up at Colorado State, and I miss those seasons. I miss seeing the leaves color and the aspen tern and the crab apples and all the different things with the beautiful fall color. We just don't get that down here.
We'll be back right after this.